Good morning. Welcome to worship on this very beautiful day. To Gene Stackhouse, who is playing the musical, the piano this morning, a very strong and thankful gift that you give to us. Thank you for doing this. And I know we have more music that we will also enjoy. We have among us this morning a few visitors and guests, and I prefer not to embarrass anybody by calling them by names, but when it comes to my own family, I have no difficulty with that. And my niece, Mary, and her family, her husband, Ken, and boys, Andrew and William, are with us this morning from Philadelphia. And we are enjoying them, and I hope you'll have the opportunity to meet them as well. I know that there are a couple others of you who are visiting with us, and to you also a very, very special and warm welcome. Are there announcements that are to be shared? Lois?
2 weeks from today is going to be Children's Sunday, and although we're having a little trouble corralling all the children at one time in one place, we will be, the children, hopefully, will pretty much be presenting the entire service. And that will include, although we would like the choir to be there, there are a few things we'd like them to do, at least some of the choir. So I just want to give you that heads up that in 2 weeks, today is Pentecost. We will be talking about Pentecost, I assume, a little later in the service, but we are going to be rebooting Pentecost shortly on that. It is one of the most important holidays of the Christian year. Unfortunately, it always happens at a time of year when a lot of people aren't around. So that is our plan.
Okay. Thank you, Lois. Are there other? Gene?
And after church, we will rehearse the children's choir. They just think because that man is not here. Don't think we're not going to rehearse.
And Gene, next time you make an announcement, would you use a microphone so we could hear you? Are there others? All right. We do have a coffee hour following the worship service, and if you're not familiar with how things flow here, it's through those doors in our Jonathan Edwards room where we will have beverages for drinking and some light foods for snacking on, and we especially will have conversation, which is the very best part of it all. So I hope you will plan to take at least a few minutes and join us for that following the worship service. And now I invite us to prepare ourselves for worship with our introit.
If you would turn in your bulletin to the call to worship and join with me this morning. The wind of Pentecost is blowing, and the fire of Pentecost is descending. As people of God, let us prepare our hearts to receive the Spirit's coming and to attend to the Spirit's message to the church. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place and celebrate the Spirit's coming into our lives, into the church, and into the world. In our worshiping together, we are listening for the Spirit's word and seeking the Pentecostal power, which alone can inspire and empower faithful and creative living. Will you pray with me? Our most merciful and mighty God, we come before you this morning, Creator, Son, and Holy Ghost. We ask you to draw near to us this morning as we draw near to you. Help us to quiet and still our hearts to hear your word this morning, to know your word, and to be your word in the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our opening hymn is on page 129, Come, O Spirit, Dwell Among Us. And if you're able, I invite you to stand for the singing.
Thank you.
The reading from the epistles this morning is from the book of Acts. It is on page 948 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God add his blessing to the understanding of his word. Amen.
Children, will you come forward? Let us have a few moments with each other. Come on up, Andrew. I'm sure. Anybody else? Yeah, come on up. There we go. We've got more. Pull up a spot on the steps there and make yourselves comfortable. Good morning. Anybody else? Are we missing anybody? Okay. Hey, hi, everybody. And this is Andrew. Welcome. And you've been here once before, but it's nice to have you back. How many of you have a pair of binoculars? Or a telescope? You do?
Both of them.
You have both of them. Wow. What do you look at? Birds. That's good. Do you ever look at the moon? Sometimes. When you look at the moon, tell me what you see, or even if you've not looked at them through binoculars or telescope, you probably have seen a picture of the moon. What is it you see? What does it look like? Can you tell me?
A white spot.
A white spot? And is there something on the moon?
No.
No?
Yes.
Yes, what is it?
A flag.
A flag. Well, that's true. Yeah, there is. There was a flag. Well, what about big holes? Do you see those big round holes? Ah, now what do you think those things came from?
Meteors.
She's got it. Yeah, that's really, really good. You're right. Did you see them hit?
No.
Well, how do you know?
I just knew it.
You just knew it. But if you didn't see it, how could you know it? Oh, you mean
We see things like those big holes, and we're pretty sure that didn't happen by itself. Something hit it, right? From space, a meteor, an asteroid, something like that. Well, you're right. There are a lot of things that happen that we don't see. And we can't say, well, I know that because I saw it. We say, we know that because it had to be. There's no other explanation for it. Now, do you know where this paper came from? Anybody? What?
A tree.
Now, tell me about the tree that it came from. You don't know anything about that tree, do you? Well, I don't know anything about that tree either, but I bet I could guess some, make a pretty good guess about it. I'm betting that tree was probably older than any of you when that came from, the tree that this came from, possibly even older than me. And I know it came from somewhere out there, probably in a big, big forest where they cut down trees just for paper. And I didn't see it happen. I have no idea where that tree came from, but I do know that here's the paper from it. So I know that that tree was cut down. Well, today, we're in a special day in the church. Every year, we celebrate or we recognize Pentecost. Do you know what that is? Oh, that's when we are told that the Spirit, a special Spirit, comes to us whenever we want. And there was a breath on that first day. Like, can you help me breathe? Let's all do a big breath. Like, can you do that? Come on, let's do it really hard. Well, wow, it was even bigger than that. And this special breath landed on everybody who was there. And it said, now you have this special Spirit that's with you. And this is going to help you in the days to come as you try to be faithful to God in your walk as a Christian. And now, I wasn't there when that happened. Were you? No. I mean, we can kind of let's do some more breaths. We can imagine. We can do that, but that isn't the same thing as when it happened, right? No. We have simply got to believe it. And the way we can believe it is because of what we can now see. And what we can now see is, look. See all those people out there? Can you see them? They're here. They're here. If that didn't happen, they probably wouldn't be here. And it's God's way of saying, I'm with you. And what I have for you to do is really important, and I'm going to allow you to be the people of that God's people who will be here to do the work, and that's the church. So, next time somebody says to you, I don't know if I believe that there are meteors or if there are things that crash into the moon, or if I don't know if I believe that there is a Spirit of God, you can say, well, there's some things we don't know. We didn't see them happen, but we can see the results. And here among all of us are the results of that Spirit. Will you join me? Let's hold hands and have a prayer. Andrew, you want to grab a hand? Okay. Everybody connected? Will you also join us as we recite our Lord's Prayer? And we begin with Creator, but you're welcome to use any other God or Father or Mother as you choose. Let us pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to have all of you here. And now I believe Mrs. Rose is going to take you off to do other things.
As we prepare to share our offerings, our gifts, I have been giving some attention recently to the direction and the movement of church, and it has been brought to my attention that across the board, the membership in church is declining, regardless of where it is, whichever denomination, whichever body of faith. But it's also said that everything is in declining that requires joining, whether it be the Masons or clubs, they're all in decline. We have entered a non-joining time. Well, when people talk about their life of spiritual needs, there are many who will say, I am spiritual, but not religious. The interesting part about being spiritual and not religious is being spiritual without the community of faith means that absolutely nothing is required of that person. Nothing. When they become part of a community of faith, then there are great expectations and responsibilities placed upon each person. And one of those responsibilities is our financial support. I invite the ushers to be among us this morning for a collection of this morning's offerings.
God, we present to you these gifts, and we express our gratefulness that you are both spiritual and religious, that you are one who leads and requires a community of faith. God, we are glad that you are among us, and we present these gifts to you and ask for the blessings upon each one who has made a commitment and who is able to share a portion of life with others and you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer these gifts. Amen.
This morning's gospel reading is being read from John. It is from the 15th chapter, verses 26 and 27, followed by the 16th chapter, verses 4b through 15. And that may be found on page 940 of the Pew Bible if you are interested in reading along. Here are these words. When the Advocate comes, whom will I send to you from God? The Spirit of truth who comes from God. He will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. And then to 4b. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because they do not believe in me. About righteousness because I am going to the God and you will see me no longer. About judgment because the ruler of this world has not been condemned or has been condemned. I will have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that God has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is the end of the reading of the scripture and gospel for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth for those of you who are connected to the television programming that is always before us, I hope you have found something of interest recently, as I have. I have found that there is a new form of television programming, and I'm beginning to enjoy some of the new programs again, unlike I had for a long time. One of those programs that I look forward to, that we both look forward to, especially on Monday night when they come up with their new episode, is Antiques Roadshow. Are there any others among us who like that show? I love it. If you watched it this past week, you might have seen the same thing that we saw. I love it, and I enjoy it when I watch a program where somebody paid $2.50 for an original painting only to discover it's worth almost $100,000. And that was broadcast on Monday night. And yeah, that's not bad. I would like to know where those sales are. I would be happy. I might even pay $3. I have a similar story for you, and it's about some people I've known. Their names were Jack and Ann. Jack and Ann lived in a house that was high on a ridge in Honolulu, Hawaii. It was one of those locations that many people can only imagine or perhaps watch when other people take you on tours of their houses. It's a place that I think many people would simply enjoy living. The view from their house was spectacular. To the left was Diamond Head, and to the right was downtown Honolulu, and just beyond that, of course, at their Waikiki Beach in the Pacific Ocean. They lived most of their married lives in that house. They raised all five of their children there, and it was probably one of the most idyllic places and spectacular places that I've ever been. Jack, when I knew him, was in his early 80s. I just turned 80. He had been a retired businessman, but he was not the kind of person who wanted to slow down, had no interest in retirement, so he became the administrator of the church that I was serving as an interim. During my 2 years as the senior interim pastor, I got to know Jack and Ann quite well, because we worked closely together. What I admired most about him was his impeccable ethics and his humility. He was the kind of man that anyone, I believe, would be pleased to know, or even better, you would be pleased to have as a friend. They always enjoyed friends, and their circle of friends was large. Jack was a quiet and humble man. But since he was born in Hawaii, he did boast about being the oldest surviving baptized member of that congregation, which was about the only thing I ever heard him boast about. He was in Honolulu during the attack on Pearl Harbor, and he explained how a bomb landed just a block away from the church. He knew the history. He knew it well. He knew just about everything there was to know about that island. In time, I learned that there was much, much more that Jack could have boasted about. His daughter-in-law is a famous movie actress, but he rarely said anything about that. He and Anne had, as I said, many good personal friends. Among his personal friends were a couple whose name were Catherine and Arthur Murray. Now, some of you, especially who are younger, probably haven't a clue about who they were. But in the 1950s and the 1960s, the Murrays had a syndicated television program for dancing, and they became quite famous. And one evening, he told me that he and Anne were invited to dinner at the house, which is not uncommon. They did that quite often at the Murrays, and they were having conversation when Jack said that he looked at the painting on the wall and said, "You know, I like that. That is really an interesting painting." And the Murrays immediately went over, took the painting off the wall, gave it to them, and said, "Well, why don't you take it home and put it on your wall where you can enjoy it a little bit longer?" And that's what they did. It was on their wall for a number of years. Jack said that after a long time, he became tired of looking at that same painting, probably as any of us would do when you have the same thing there in front of you. So he took it down and he put it in a closet, which is where it was kept for, again, a considerable amount of time. One day, he discovered what he had in his closet. He said it was an original painting by a French artist. And I believe, and I'm a little vague on this, I believe he says it was either a Chardin or a Monet. And I might be incorrect, but it was such an artist. I do vividly, however, recall what he said next. He said, "You know, Don, that painting that was stuck in my closet was worth more than my great view mountaintop house. He said, I immediately took it out of the closet and I returned it to the Murrays. I didn't want to be responsible for it anymore. Today's gospel lesson has Jesus telling the disciples about the Paraclete, or Holy Spirit. Now that word is rooted in Hebrew judicial terminology. The word, the first part is para, meaning one who is called to the side of another to help, and kaleo, which means to call. The Paraclete, or Holy Spirit, is much like an advocate or a defense attorney for the disciples and is one who is called when there is help needed. The disciples of Jesus were clueless about what they were to do next. They were ready to go forward, but they were without a clue of how they were going to do that. That's when Jesus assured them that there will always be a spirit or a paraclete who will come to their defense when needed. Just like a defense attorney who is bound to work within the perimeters of the law and to be speaking the truth, so this spirit will be bound to work with the teachings of Jesus and always be bound to telling the truth. What this means for the disciples and everyone who commits themselves to being a follower of Jesus is there is one who opens doors to closets and other such places and tells the truth about the treasures that are within it. The Holy Spirit is the one who commissions and directs the hidden treasures to be liberated from the darkness and the recesses of those places, and then to have those treasures placed in the hands of those to whom the treasures belong. Our treasures are really not our own. That isn't anything that any one of us has not heard many times. As you know, I have been the pastor of many congregations because interim pastors tend to get around. We tend to have a wide circulation. And I've noticed a truth in every single congregation that I've served that they all have in common. In every congregation, including here, there are people who are known to show up regularly, sometimes every Sunday morning, but have little, if any, involvement in anything else in the church. I have been known to open that matter with some congregations, but I always get the same response, especially when talking to nominating committees. I hear this: oh, that's Jane, or Jack, or Cy, or Sally, not that Jack. Those folks are happy to worship and let everybody else do everything else. In one congregation that I served for a long time, there was a man who was known as Silent Floyd. Silent Floyd worshiped regularly and supported the church financially, but was never part of anything else or any other activity in the church. When it came for the board to make nominations, I would inevitably, every year, say, what about Silent Floyd? And I would always hear the same response: oh, no, no, no. Oh, Floyd only wants to worship. He's too busy to do anything else. As it turned out, the only reason that Floyd never did anything in the church was because no one ever asked him to. I understand that he eventually was asked to be on the Capitol campaign committee for that congregation and did an outstanding job. In many ways, we are partners with the Spirit, the Paraclete. We are in partnership to open doors and to help bring out the treasures that are stuffed way in the back, in the hard-to-find places where it's dark. In every congregation, there are treasures in the closets. There are people with treasures of skills, abilities who have never been set loose or opened up. There are people with a treasure of organizational or teaching skills that are still left in the dark. There are people with passions for ministry, some of them that are going on now, some that have not yet been developed within the life of the congregation, but are not opened up. There are people with treasures of visions or ideas or perhaps dreams, and none of them have ever seen the light of day because no one ever asked them to do anything. For a time in my life, I studied fundraising management at the University of Washington Extension School. Spent a year of my life doing that. One of the instructors was a very successful development director of a major hospital, and I have no difficulty telling you it was Children's Hospital, which anybody who knows anything about children's hospitals is you know, lots of people are willing to give a lot of money for what they do. He was filled with insights about the art of fundraising. One of the jewels he shared with us that I've grasped and I hold on to this day was he said that one of the greatest mistakes a fundraiser can make is to decide for someone else what a person is capable of or willing to do. And I hear that in every congregation I go, oh no, we don't want to ask, you know, that person won't do that. That's too much, or we can't do that. And I always tell them, don't make a decision for other people. An illustration he gave was the time he approached a couple for a major donation. He said he did all of his homework, and he was certain that his request was within the resources and the abilities of the couple that he was approaching. He did what in fundraising is called the ask, and he went to the couple and asked them, and they immediately wrote a check for what they were asked. And after it was handed to the fundraiser, they said, well, that was a lot less than we expected to be asked for. The story I'm about to tell you has a prelude. I told this story at an ecumenical Thanksgiving service some years ago in Maryland when I was living and working there. When the service concluded, the pastor of the congregation, an Episcopal priest, a woman, approached me and she said, Don, she was from Tennessee and she had that little Tennessee twang, and she said, Don, do you know my name? I said, certainly I know your name, Fran. And she said, no, you know the rest of my name. And I said, yeah, Stanford, Fran Stanford. She said, yeah, you just told a story about my family. The Leland Stanford, she said, I'm part of that family. And she said, the story you told, that we've been talking about that all, you know, it's a family story. No one ever knows exactly if it's right or not, but she says, that's a very normal family story. Well, that was a surprise, and I was glad I did my best at telling that story as well as I could. But nevertheless, it's a good story, and I'm going to tell it to you. You all, I hope, know who Leland and Jan Stanford were. They were the founders of Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. What you may not know about them is that their only son, Leland Stanford Jr., was a student at Harvard University. And at the conclusion of his first year of studies, he died. I believe it was an auto wreck. I'm not certain about that, but nevertheless, he died. Leland and Jane wanted to give a gift to the university as a memorial to their son. So they made an appointment to visit with the president, and they arrived fairly early in the morning, and the Stanfords, I understand, were very, very common-looking folks. They wore homespun clothes. The president's secretary, when she met them, not knowing anything about them, noticed that they were in these homespun clothes and looking kind of poor, and she wanted to get rid of them, but they wouldn't go anywhere. And so she kept delaying the president interviewing them, but they hung around for hours. They sat out there in that office waiting to see the president. And finally she said to the president, you know, if you just meet with him for a few minutes, you can get rid of him. And so he did. He called him in, and he was expecting to hear them say they wanted to erect a statue for their son. So he, not even asking any questions, said, you know, we can't erect a statue for every student who has died here. We'd have statues all over the place. And they said, no, we don't want to do a statue, but what we're interested in doing is financing a building and have it as a memorial to him. And the president snickered and he said, do you have any idea how much a building costs? And went on to explain the value of a building at that time. And after he concluded that, the Stanfords looked at each other and they says, is that all it costs? And they said, well, why don't we just build our own college? And Stanford University now stands because of that. Never make an assumption or a decision for another person about what that person can do. Never assume that the dark corner of someone's closet that there cannot be some possible great treasure. Never assume that someone does not have a burning treasure within that can make a significance and difference in this world that God is creating. We are the Spirit's assistants, and the Holy Spirit works best when we work with the Holy Spirit. There's also the other side. Often people convince themselves that they cannot possibly be the one that holds a great treasure. Even when the closet doors are unlocked, there are some who will hear that and be convinced that it cannot possibly be them. Maybe somebody else, but not possibly me. From First Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska, the pastor of the congregation wrote her article, and I think it's worth reading. And here's what she wrote, and it's a quote. When my friend's son, Jay, was in the first grade, my friend got a call from the teacher. Jay's grades were falling, and he was having trouble paying attention. The teacher and the school nurse met with me and decided to ask to have Jay's ears tested, because he didn't appear to be hearing well. She made an appointment with the doctor, and Jay had his hearing tested. They waited in the doctor's private office so that they could learn of the diagnosis very quickly. The doctor came in holding a very grim look and sat down at the edge of the desk, and then he broke the news to them. I think Jay is hard of listening. The paraclete comes. The paraclete's assistant comes and does everything to assure you that you have a treasure in the closet and now desperately needs to be brought out into the light of day. Sometimes the greatest obstacle to release the treasures in the closet is a person's hard of listening. It can be something that a person does not want to hear or even believe, that a treasure could be within him or her. Jesus told his disciples that they would lead the world into a change that would make the world into what God wants it to be. Yes, you are uncertain how you can do that, but worry not, because the Spirit is on the way, and we are the Spirit's assistants, and there are others as well. All that you need to do is open the closet door and let the treasure out and set it loose and allow it to find its way back into the hands of to whom it belongs. And to whom does it belong? It belongs to God. And all we're doing is releasing it to where it came from. And it will be used. Amen. Our next hymn is sung from page 132 in our red hymnal. The title is Come, the title is Come, Great God of All the Ages, hymn number 132. And I invite you to stand if you're able. Please be seated. Each one of us will now have the opportunity to voice aloud our joys or concerns for ourselves, someone else, for this place, or somewhere else. If there is a joy or concern that you would like us to also be aware of, this is the time, and I invite you to share it aloud. Tris? Thank you for sharing that, Tris. Yes? Would you say it again, please? For June, had a kidney transplant. We keep her in our prayers. Others? Absolutely. Others? Thank you for Connie's brother. I'd like us also, of course, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I would like us to always remember those who were prepared and many who did make significant sacrifices for others, including their lives. Will you be in a way of prayer for these few moments? Let us be in silence, but our silence is only outward. We will be talking a lot to God during this time. Let us be in prayer. God, we turn to you because we know you will listen. You are not hard of listening. You understand the depths of our needs, our cares, our hopes, our dreams. You understand the depths of our brokenness, but you also understand the heights of our joys. We turn all of this to you, and we ask you to continue to walk with us in our journey. Our journeys sometimes take us in unusual places. They take us to people that we may never have anticipated being in our lives. And sometimes those people are not near us, but afar. They are sometimes people that we do not know by name or face, but we know where they are and who they are. We know they are also in need for the people who suffer at the hands of others, both in our community and in our world, for those who are abused, for those who know the loss of life of those who they care of and care for and live with. We ask for your presence to be with each of them and to also be with each of us. We remember this weekend the many people who have sacrificed themselves for others, for those in the military, but also for those in the services of this nation, for the people who fight fires, for the police, for the parents of those who are in need and give of themselves selflessly, for all people who have learned how to give, we express our heartfelt gratefulness and ask that they may become the inspiration that leads us to also be givers of greatness. God, we pray for this congregation, for its work. May it continue to move forward and may it go strongly into the future. May our vision be great, and may the Spirit that you send to us be the one that accompanies us on our journey. Help us to always remember that we are not alone. We never have been, and we never will be. For God, when we are able to embrace that, we can be bold in all that we do, in all that we say. and in all that we are. We faithfully pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I ask you to pass the peace with one another.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Okay. Peace. Well, how do the kids do it? Oh, good. Peace. Is that your post hole digger? It's out the back door. Your post hole. Mary, peace to you. Peace to you. Angela, right. I met her. Yeah.
It was
good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
It was set up.
Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you, Doug. Peace, David. Peace. Okay, I think it's time to start. Peace to you.
Blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from blessedness, wind, wind on the sea. You move me from waters, you call to the deep, and you coaxed up the mountains from the valleys of sleep. And over the eons, you call to each thing. Awake from and rise on your wings. Spirit, spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from blessedness, wind, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you goaded your people with a law and a land. When we were confounded by their idle lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You sung with a sable, You cried from a hill. You whispered in silence when the whole world was still. And down from the city, you called once again. When you blew through your people on the rush of the wind. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind on the sea. You called from the morrow, you break ancient schemes. From the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes. With bold new decisions, your people arise. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind on the sea.
And now may the peace of God be with each of us for today, tomorrow, and all the morrows beyond. May we go into this world knowing that we do carry with us great treasures, and that God has great expectations and needs for all of those to be exposed, to be used and returned. Go, but go knowing this, that you and we are greatly and eternally loved. Amen.